ghost of the future. I fear you more than any specter I have seen. Will you not speak to me?
It gave him no reply. The hand was pointed straight before them.
Lead on, lead on. The night is waning fast, and it is precious to me, I know. Lead on, spirit.
They scarcely seemed to enter the city, for the city rather seemed to spring up about them. And there they were in the heart of it amongst the merchants. The spirit stopped beside one little knot of businessmen. Observing that the hand was pointed to them, Scrooge advanced to listen to their talk.
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
What has he done with his money?
Well, I haven't heard. Company, perhaps. He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know.
The scene had changed, and now he almost touched a bare, uncurtained bed. A pale light rising in the outer air fell straight upon this bed, and on it, unwatched, unwept, uncared for, was the body of this unknown man.
Oh, spirit, let me see some tenderness connected with a death. Or this dark chamber, spirit, will be forever present to me.
The ghost conducted him to poor Bob Cratchit's house, the dwelling he'd visited before, and found the mother and the children seated round the fire. Quiet, very quiet. The noisy little Cratchits were as still as statues in one corner and sat looking up at Peter, who had a book before him. The mother and her daughters were engaged in needlework, but surely they were very quiet. The mother laid her work upon the table and put her hand up to her face.
The colour hurts my eyes. They're better now again. It makes them weak by candlelight, and I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home for the world. It must be near his time.
Past the time, rather. But I think he has walked a little slower than he used to these last few evenings, Mother.
I have known him walk with... I have known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. But he was very light to carry, and his father loved him so it was no trouble. No trouble. And there is your father at the door.
She hurried out to meet him, and Bob came in. His tea was ready for him, and they all tried who should help him to it most. Then the two young Cratchits got upon his knees and laid each child a little cheek against his face, as if they said,
"Don't mind it, Father."
Bob was very cheerful with them and spoke pleasantly to all the family. He looked at the work upon the table and praised Mrs. Cratchit and the girls.
"You went today, then, Robert?"
"Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on a Sunday. My little, little child. My little child."
"Spectre, something informs me that our parting moment is at hand. I know it, but I know not how. Tell me what man that was with the covered face, whom we saw lying dead."
The ghost of Christmas yet to come conveyed him to a dismal, wretched, ruinous churchyard. The spirit stood among the graves and pointed down to one. Scrooge crept towards it, trembling as he went, and following the finger, read upon the stone of the neglected grave his own name, Ebenezer Scrooge.
"Am I that man who lay upon the bed? No, spirit, oh no, no. Spirit, hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been. Why show me this if I am past all hope? Assure me that I yet may change these shadows you have shown me by an altered life. I will honour Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone.
Holding up his hands in one last prayer to have his fate reversed, he saw an alteration in the phantom's wooden dress. It shrunk, collapsed, and dwindled down into a bedpost. Yes, and the bedpost was his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own to make amends in. He was checked in his transports by the churches ringing out the lustiest peals he'd ever heard. Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist, no night. Clear, bright, stirring, golden day.
What's today?
Cried Scrooge, calling downward to a boy in Sunday clothes.
Boy? Aye, it's young Master Bernard Matthews. What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. Hello, my fine fellow.
Hello.
Do you know the poulterers, dealers, in the next street but one at the corner?
I should hope I did.
Oh, an intelligent boy, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the big one.
What? The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, Bernard.
It's hanging there now.
It is. Go and buy it.
Right you are, boy.
And tell him to bring it here, that I may give them the direction where to take it. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown. But hurry, mind, as it might devalue soon.
The boy was off like a shot.
I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who sends it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim.
Scrooge dressed himself all in his best and at last got out into the streets. The people were by this time pouring forth as he had seen them with the ghost of Christmas present. And, walking with his hands behind him, Scrooge regarded everyone with a delightful smile. He looked so irresistibly pleasant in a word that three or four good-humoured fellows said,
Good morning, sir.
Merry Christmas to you.
He was early at the office next morning. If only he could be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Bob was full 18 minutes and a half behind his time. Bob's hat was off before he opened the door. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9:00.
Hello. What do you mean by coming here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I'm behind my time.
You are? Yes, I think you are. Step this way, if you please. Now, I tell you, my friend, I am not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer, and therefore I am about to raise your salary.
And a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavour to assist your struggling family.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the fine city knew, or any other fine city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but his own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
Chatterbox Christmas Carol, starred Maureen Marr, Neville Miller, Rupert Hipwell, Alison Aplin, Christopher Speak, Derek James, Dorothy Sneasby, and Richard Matthew. Adapted from Charles Dickens's short story by Thomas Hutchinson and given a Norfolk spin by Tim Edwards.